Friends, on our way down to a low of about 5 degrees. Bundle up, stay warm, take caution on the roads. We'll see you on the flip side here with Robert Pilot, Native Roots Radio.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff hit me cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chushunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
I am awake. Hey, Haley, we had to bring the heavy hitters here on the day before Thanksgiving, and Wendy's with us right now too. What are you thankful for, Wendy?
I am so thankful for two healthy and happy grandchildren this year.
And grandfather? No, wait, that would be me.
That would be you, but you're my husband.
Oh yeah, husband. I'm grateful for my wife and all the joy that you bring me, and also our grandchildren and Haley.
Yes, I'm very happy and blessed to have lots of good stuff happening.
Haley, what are you grateful for?
Oh, I'm thankful for my family and my relatives and my friends who are like family, and all of the living things that have a spirit here on Turtle Island.
Ooh, good answer, because we're going to have Wendy on our sacred, our animal portion here on segment four, like the old days, Wendy.
I love it. I can't wait.
Well, today's, how many days now, Haley, have we been celebrating Native American Heritage Month?
Well, considering today is November 27th, I'm going to guess 27 days, hopefully.
That was a trick question.
As I say, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you as a great producer and whatnot, and we really like the whatnot part, you have some tips about decolonizing our holiday for Thanksgiving. Do you want to share those with our listeners?
I would love to, Deka. Thank you. First off, I just want to say a couple tips for decolonizing your weekend, however you see it, as Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving. We want to give a big shout out. Thank you so much for listening to Native Roots Radio, Pina Gigiwi for supporting us and all of our content. We're so appreciative and thankful for this support over the years, as well as our listeners, our guests, our staff, and producers at our home station, as well as other affiliate stations. And again, just thankful for all of our relations this season. But yeah, a couple of great tips coming up. This comes from the KC Indian Center's Instagram post. And I guess this goes for whether you're Native or an ally, but it's important to acknowledge the land that you're on this holiday season. You can research the original people of where you're living. Like here in Minnesota, we're on traditional Dakota and Ojibwe and Ho-Chunk land.
Yeah. And then if you're listening to us in Wisconsin, I would say the whole state is Ho-Chunk land. Ho-wa.
Yeah. Some people might disagree.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this
Potawatomi and those guys.
Our good friends. Yes. I want to say, too, this was a great tip. You can incorporate indigenous foods into your meal this holiday season. Highlight and incorporate ingredients tied to the original people of the land. Common foods of our region are corn, beans, and squash, which are the three sisters, bison, turkey, and duck, as well as wild greens or nuts like black walnuts or pecans, berries like elderberries, huckleberries, and blackberries. And if you're native, you can go ahead and smudge off before you eat, smudge your food, or put a spirit plate out for your elders or loved ones that have passed over.
Yeah, really good. Hey, so Wendy, maybe you can jump in here. You were about to take off and do some cooking, but also what we're going to have here at the Pilot Residence.
Yes. So this will be a vegan Thanksgiving dinner. And, you know, I was thinking about how long I've been vegan. I can't really remember. It's funny, you know, the Facebook memories come up and there was something like 12 years ago we were somewhere and I know I was vegan then. So I know it's at least 12 years. It might be longer, but I can't remember. But anyway, 1 year, we made a whole bunch of Thanksgiving fixings, vegan style, and we went over to our friend's house, you remember. And I made homemade vegan gravy, and she made her turkey gravy, and we had it both hers out and mine out. And there was a whole group of people there. No one was vegan, but we wanted everyone to taste them and say, which one is the turkey gravy and which one is the vegan turkey gravy. And everybody thought that mine was the real thing, if you could believe that or not. But yeah, Megan has never lived that one down.
Hey, we also went to a family feast and you brought in some
I can't remember what I brought.
Uncle Gary loved it.
I brought something. I think it was like a vegan shepherd's pie. Exactly. That's what it was. And
fooled all the McKees.
Know, I don't say the word vegan because, you know, if people don't know about it, they're afraid of it, right? And they don't want to try it, or they think that it's not going to be good or whatever. So I don't use the word vegan, but I am going to make a homemade cranberry sauce. I've never done that before, but I talked to a woman at the grocery store and she gave me a quick little recipe. So it's pretty easy. I'm going to make that tonight. I make homemade green bean casserole with fresh green beans and fresh mushrooms. Mm-hmm. And I make my own like cream sauce.
You know, Haley,
stuffing.
I never had
mashed potatoes.
I never had.
I make a vegan loaf, like the main, like the, it's like the meat, you know.
I'll
make some crescent rolls.
I never had cranberries. I never had cranberries from out of the can until I met you.
The gelled?
Yeah.
I know. That's what we always had growing up as a kid. Was
sacred.
The gelled, you know, you open it up and you just slice it.
It looks just like
slices.
A can.
Yeah, it comes out like looking like a can.
But yeah, we've had really great Thanksgiving meals. I remember too, we used to go to Jay Selby too for a warm-up.
Jay Selby is a vegan restaurant in St. Paul on Selby and Victoria.
Who used to advertise?
Yeah, well, they got new owners, so the new owners don't advertise. But yeah, it's a vegan restaurant. And this is what they do. They give away a free Thanksgiving meal. So you can go there. It's kind of like a bowl, you know, and it has kind of everything in it, but it's for free. So you can go there and have a free Thanksgiving dinner. And, you know, you could always donate if you want to donate money. But if you don't have any money to donate, you could just go there and have the meal. So that's, Jay Selby. They do a lot of good outreach throughout the year, too. Like when we go and buy a meal, we also buy these wooden coins. I can't remember how much they're worth. But anyway, they go into a jar and people who don't have any money can use those coins to buy their meals. So I love that about that restaurant.
Yeah, it's always been that way.
Maybe if they hear us, they will come back on and advertise with us. So
well, we just did a 2-minute spot for them. Maybe I can just bill them.
Yeah, oh, just wow. Bill them. Anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
If you go to Jay Selby's, tell them Robert and Wendy and Haley from Native Roots Radio sent them. Maybe they'll get the hint.
Yeah. Now that's funny. Haley, we got like a minute here, and I know you watched some of the Hulu Vow of Silence episode. That was pretty heavy, huh?
Yeah, I started it. I was on Hulu. And that, you know, the whole kind of story hasn't really been told that much. I know we have less than a minute left here until we go to break, but it's about the story of Anna Maya Quash. And Anna was a First Nations American Indian Movement activist that was murdered, you know, in the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in 1975. And the story tells a lot about the history of AIM and the American Indian Movement. So if you have Hulu, I would definitely recommend checking out Vow of Silence, the assassination of Annie Mae.
Yeah, it's a heck of a documentary. I've only made it through the first out of the four, and well done. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and up next, Haley's going to quiz us on myths of the first Thanksgiving. We'll be right back after this short break.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, it's kind of a short week here, and our friend State Senator Mary Kunish sent us an update. And really excited to listen to that. Why don't we take a quick listen?
Hello, my relatives. I greet you with a warm handshake and a good heart. This is State Senator Mary Kunish from Minnesota. And I just want to talk a little bit about this season that we are in, this week that we are in, this week of Thanksgiving. We all know that Thanksgiving is a time where we acknowledge gratitude and celebrate, not just in Minnesota, not just across the United States, but across the world, a time of gratitude and celebration. But, you know, it really does carry a much deeper and very much painful significance for our Indigenous American Indians. And so as you all gather with your families and your loved ones, oftentimes to give thanks, it's so important that we recognize the really complex history and the variety, the wide variety of perspectives that really have shaped this holiday and shape it to this day. We know that for many of our Native American communities, Thanksgiving is a reminder of the arrival of European settlers and the consequential impacts on our Indigenous populations. We look at that first narrative, the first Thanksgiving that shows a story that portrays a really harmonious feast between pilgrims and Native Americans. But we know that this depiction really intentionally glosses over the devastating consequences that followed for our Indigenous people. And that includes the land dispossession, broken treaties, violent conflicts, intentional infection of diseases to kill off our people, boarding schools, MMIR, all of those things. And this time of year, you know, with the change of seasons as well, oftentimes many of us feel sorrow and loss, and it marks the beginning of really of centuries of colonization and cultural erasure, the holiday of Thanksgiving. So many of us will observe this day as a time of mourning. We'll take time to reflect on the struggle of our ancestors and look at the ongoing challenges that our Indigenous communities continue to encounter to this day. But in spite of that, I think that Thanksgiving also offers us an opportunity to recognize and honor the resilience and the rich cultural heritage of our Native folks today. We can take this time to celebrate our own traditions, but also express the gratitude for the land, for our ancestors, for those in our community. And it's a day to acknowledge the importance of connecting to the earth and the teachings that have been passed on through generations and generations. So I hope you take time to get outside and acknowledge the beauty of nature and all that has been given to us. We see in these last couple of years, these last few years, there's been a growing movement among us to reclaim that narrative of Thanksgiving and emphasize the importance of an honest education and awareness of the atrocities to folks. And so many of us advocate for a more accurate representation of history, and that has to include the voices and the experiences of our Indigenous people. And we're doing that in Minnesota. We did that by including Indian education for all in our curriculums. So as we gather around our tables and we travel to loved ones, this time of giving thanks, let's remember to not only express the gratitude, but also reflect on our past and acknowledge the ongoing journey in our communities. And by doing this, hopefully we will build and foster a better understanding and respect and our commitment to supporting our Indigenous rights and our sovereignty. So in conclusion, I wish you all a good holiday of giving thanks. This time for showing gratitude, but also use it as a moment to engage in the complexities of our history, our shared history. And let's honor the past and celebrate our resilience, work towards a future that recognizes and respects the rich history, the rich woven history of Native American cultures. And I wish you all a great season of giving thanks. Wopi Latanka.
Wow, great update from State Senator Mary Kunish and her grandchildren.
Yeah, it's kind of, you could hear them in the background.
Hey, before we get any further, Haley, I know there's a fire in the village coming up. I wonder if you could just give a quick shout out. That's coming up real soon here.
Oh, yeah. So this is super fun. Fire in the Village is a collective arts space that has been traveling all around Minnesota, northern Minnesota. I know they did a couple shows up in northern Wisconsin. But this includes David Huckfelt, a musician. He's very active in our community as ally, and Leech Lake member Ojibwe Annie Humphrey. She'll be performing a few of her songs as well. And then you have Shanae Mattson, who does the screen printing, and it's all community driven and engaged. And they'll be back to end their tour. This is their Decolonized Thanksgiving tour on Friday, and that'll be at the Hook and Ladder Theater and Lounge in Minneapolis. It'll be a lot of fun. I know Laura Hugo and Jada Brown will also be making appearances.
Oh, that's awesome. That sounds really awesome. So Haley, our producer here, put together some things about myths about the first Thanksgiving. And Haley, I was hoping this would be a test, but this is really, really some interesting bullets. Do you mind reading a couple of them and then we can discuss them?
Yeah, that sounds great. I think it's kind of like, us as Native people know this, right? We kind of know the history, the real truth about Thanksgiving, but it's also kind of a good reminder to go over these things. But a couple myths about the first Thanksgiving. So a lot of people kind of mistakenly see it as a friendly feast of unity and gratitude. I don't know about that. It was depicted as a harmonious celebration of cooperation between pilgrims and the Native people of Wampanoag, and I might be saying that wrong. But yeah, women and children showed joy apparently when participating and serving the food, and that is a myth.
And so I like the how you put in serving the food. Yes, yeah. That's the first thing I think of when young people are serving the food, unless they're
just so happy to be doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, what other myth would you like to debunk?
Debunk?
Yeah. Oh, I wanted one. Jinx.
Jinx. Pilgrims were self-sufficient pioneers. That is a myth. Pilgrims are portrayed as, or I guess, you know, the myth is that they're portrayed as resourceful farmers who cultivated the land and produced an abundant harvest. Another myth is that the Wampanoag's involvement was minimized to passive assistance out of their own goodwill.
And we know that not being true because the Pilgrims were starving to death at the time.
Yeah, they were relying on us for the food and how to grow it. Another myth here, Thanksgiving is a long-standing tradition. The feast in 1621, framed as the first Thanksgiving, forming the foundation of the modern holiday. Thanksgiving romanticized as a moral and cultural cornerstone of early America.
We all just get along, don't we?
Apparently.
Over a big turkey meal.
Yeah.
Wendy just grimaced.
Of course. Right. She needs her tofu turkey.
That's what we're having, isn't it, Wendy?
No, it's not tofurkey. We've tried many vegan brands. You and I particularly like the Gardein brand. I think it tastes the best, and it's, you know.
I can put gravy on anything, Haley.
Yeah, Robert,
yeah, there you go. Gravy. I'm sure that helps. Let's go into the truth. So I guess it's kind of like the opposite of those 3 points. So the truth about Thanksgiving, it was a tense and strategic encounter. Native leaders of the area sent 90 warriors to observe and assert power, not purely as a gesture of friendship. Pilgrims also were conducting military drills in the area, adding to the tension. Also, a truth, Native contribution to survival. This is kind of what we were talking about. The Natives were the ones who taught the Pilgrims farming techniques in the area, including the Three Sisters, mm-hmm. which included the corn, beans, and squash. And Pilgrims initially raided Native graves and food caches, creating the mistrust that we still see today.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, I know we only got like a minute left, but I really like, and I think it was brought up in the documentary about in 1970.
Yeah, the documentary of The Vow of Silence on Hulu. So they talked about this. On Thanksgiving Day in 1970, AIM, or the American Indian Movement, staged a protest at Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts, to commemorate what they call the National Day of Mourning. And I know a lot of Natives participate in the National Day of Mourning around this time as well, but that highlights the negative impact of European colonization on Native Americans.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we got a jam-packed show. Great job, Haley, as always. Some great information out there. And that's why people listen to the show, is because of the great information that comes out here, and not because of me, Wendy.
Yeah, right. You're a huge help, Robert.
I just introduced you guys. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and up next we got Bob Blake from Red Lake. I always like to say that.
Stay with us.
This is Native Roots Radio.
The program is supported by Hennepin Health, your community health care plan. If you live in Hennepin County and you're eligible for medical assistance or medical care, Hennepin Health is here to help with coverage for medical, dental, and mental health care. Additional offers include gym benefits, rewards for visiting the doctor, and easy access to other services you may need. Learn more at hennepinhealth.org.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we are here with our friend Ruth Buffalo, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we're just catching up and really talking about the history of her nation, where she comes from, and her family, and really appreciate talking about that. And sometimes it's hard to talk about past, but we're resilient and we're still here. And Ruth, you do such great work, and we really appreciate you coming on each week too. Hey, I got a quick question here. You guys had a market Monday, and then you're going to have another market on December 13th. How was that? And can you tell us what the hours are and what's going on with that?
Sure. Yep. Yesterday we had our fall feast. Big drum. Sorry, I'm being, you know, I'm learning so much in my new role as in being outside of the Plains area or away, or away from the Missouri River. Hey, no, just kidding. My disclaimer, or the Red River. But yeah, or being near the Mississippi River. But yeah, there's, so I'm learning so much, first of all. And so, yeah, we had a fall feast, and it was good. My daughter and the boy twin were able to join, and the girl twin was at basketball practice. But, yeah, Maya didn't want to leave. She was like, because she had to leave to go pick up the girl twin. But she was saying, I hope we have more of these. I hope they have more of these, you know, and it was just, it did, in a sense, feel like home, back home on the res, or it just felt very familiar, you know, having like a drum group in the middle of the floor, and then community members there, and you could go out there and enjoy the songs, and then there was a meal served and prayers, and it was a ceremony. But so yeah, it was good. And then the winter market will be December 13th, and the hours will be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., I believe. So since I've been at MIWRC, there has been a spring market, a fall market, and now a winter market. And all of the vendor slots are full. And so we're excited to welcome in the community and then, you know, get some shopping in and support our local artists for sure.
Yeah, that's really important. And Ruth, we always like to bring up, if it's for sale, anyone can wear it, you know. And when you go to those open markets, too, you always want to ask who designed this or who made this, too. Because if they can't tell you, it was somebody from overseas in China or somewhere.
Yeah, for sure. I know it reminds me of like some of the items that have been somehow landed in other countries over time, even sacred items, and then how many tribal nations and communities, families, individuals rallied together to bring those items back. I think of, different tribes, like even in the Southwest who, you know, while they were doing international work, randomly came across one of their sacred headdresses in a museum over there, and then worked with different countries and found allies amongst the different countries to get those items returned to the communities, you know. So, yeah, for sure. That's where my mind went. You think of like, yeah.
No, that's a good thing to bring up, too, especially to the people listening to this, because things are really changed in the last 10, 15, 20 years, too, that we really would like these returned when we see these. And, geez, we've seen them over the years. I mean, I'm old, so I've seen things that shouldn't be in antique stores that, you know, belong to certain nations and families, and how did they get it, and all those wonderments that they would come with these sacred items.
Yeah, for sure. And I think with good reason, there's been, you know, like federal legislation or just different legislation enacted for those protections in place. But yeah, you would hope that everyone was acting how do you say it? Sorry, I got tongue-tied. But, you know, you just would hope that people would be good relatives and just being respectful.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things I got notes here about, too, I know there's a big push now, especially with the changing of the executive president here in the United States, is to have Biden really move forward and do a good thing for our Uncle Leonard. Have you heard any updates, or are there any actions, or are there anything that we can do here?
Yeah, I think for sure. I haven't heard from Leonard recently, but I know there's just always an ongoing push to encourage and put public pressure on President Joe Biden, whether it's going directly to the White House, you know, through correspondence or phone calls and messages, but also going through your respective different governmental officials, you know, whether it's, you know, at the congressional level, Senate level, state government level, local government level. All of that is important because if they don't hear from you, then it's assumed that nobody cares or, you know, but of course, those are just kind of the structures that are in place right now, I think, that are some avenues to use. But for sure, always encouraging President Joe Biden to grant Leonard Peltier executive clemency. I think sometimes people get things confused with the terminology, and it's not, you shouldn't ask for a pardon, because pardon is admitting to a crime, and Leonard, you know, stands firm in his innocence, and so it would be executive clemency. And I believe that list usually comes out at the end of December, because when I remember when I went, had gotten invited to go visit him shortly after it was before the 2022 election, but I was going through papers and found a, you know, letter from him with like application to apply to get on his visitors list. But so I had gone to visit him that December, at the end of December. So it was crazy because right when I got into Orlando, the list came out, and that was kind of a hard thing to see, was that his name wasn't on the executive clemency list from President Biden back then. And that was like in 2022.
Well, we've gone through Clinton, who was supposed to do it. And I mean, all the presidents, Obama, all these other presidents that we thought were going to do it. And we just hope and pray that Leonard can see the sky and the sunshine and the moon very soon as a free man. So one of the things, since Standing Rock, you know, we started the show and I got really active during that whole Standing Rock situation, and we started the radio show. I've been calling Thanksgiving Thanks-taking since then. How do you feel about this holiday? Because I know it's a great holiday to get together with family, and then maybe not really think about the meaning or the public meaning about it, but more about being thankful for our relatives. It's hard to live in two worlds sometimes, and this is one of the times for me.
Yeah, I think, you know, I appreciate like the time off, like the designated time off, you know, to I appreciate the annual leave. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, to be with family and to, you know, it's, for me, it's just always trying to find ways to get years added back onto our life, you know, because with all the stress, chronic stress is directly correlated to chronic illness. And it's like, I think, you know, COVID, of course, exposed a lot of gaps within different systems. And it was so important to find ways to like take care of ourselves and not just be like 8-to-5 sedentary desk jobs where you're like kind of killing yourself softly by sitting in an office job, you know. And so how do you add years onto your life? And so I think that that's an important component. If like the country that we live in, you know, present day United States, had more options for worksite wellness or just ways for people to take care of themselves, like whether it was like a trip to the ocean once a year, you know, or something, you know, where it was like a prescriptive amount of time paid for, of course, but like in the wilderness, or, you know, just something to that effect of like helping people live longer, I think, so that, you know, everybody has that opportunity and privilege to live a good, healthy, simple life. And so, yeah, that's what kind of comes to mind. But yeah, I think just the narratives that have been pushed throughout our country's history are quite interesting. Like if there was a timeline of that showed, you know, that cross referenced, you know, actual like fact checked, you know, like, you know, just things and right. The narrative. Yeah. I think, cause it's, I think sometimes the fluffy narrative is scary in a sense that it's like, you know, hiding or masking what actually happened. And then, and then you get ostracized or gaslit for trying to tell the true story. And then you're back right back at square one, you know? So it's like a tough thing to navigate, but I think, even when I was, you know, a high schooler here in Fargo, I felt like, how am I going to help educate every single school and you know, go county by county? Because I used to get invited to speak at schools and give educational presentations and try to break stereotypes. But it's a lot for just one person to carry, for sure.
Definitely. Hey, Ruth, thanks for coming on, as always. And I just got to say, it's awesome to hear that one of your other daughters, I guess, is playing basketball, too, just like a chip off the old block there. Oh,
yeah, we're in a women's league. And I thought the best I can do is bring my daughter, because I'm not going to be much help. So she sure helped, for sure.
Right on. Well, happy holidays. And again, a big peeny geeky for coming on, as always. You're always a treat, and we really appreciate all you bring to the table.
Matsugidads, likewise. Be safe.
Right on. We'll see you next week. Hey, it's Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by a Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. And hey, we just saw Dr. Stately yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes. He dropped off a big wreath.
A huge wreath.
Oh, yeah, nice. Wreath. For his boys'
it's
hockey
a
team?
TH, not an F.
Wreath.
Wreath.
Robert says wreath.
Like coral reef.
Like a coral reef.
Yeah.
Isn't that the same thing? Yeah, it's the most humongous reef that I've ever seen.
Is that in support of the Shakopee boys hockey team?
Yes, that is nice. Exactly right, Haley.
Did he hit you up too?
I saw it on Facebook and I was like, wow, those are really beautiful.
They are.
Wreaths.
Yes.
Wendy put some more
I put more
stuff
bling on them. They come with like really big acorns and a big red ribbon, and it smells beautiful.
Acorns or pine cones?
Oh, pine cones. Thank
wreath.
You.
Wreath. Okay. We need Thank Haley
you,
here.
Haley.
Wreath.
Thank you, Haley.
Maybe you could. I was thinking if there are big acorns, you could give them to the squirrels in the back.
They'd take them. They wouldn't even ask.
The squirrels.
Yeah, they're.
I just plugged in the water. The water bowl we have. Yeah. It's electric. So I just plugged it in today.
That's nice. Awesome. So they got warm water during the winter.
Well, it's not frozen then.
They get to wash their hands when the raccoons come.
They get
to wash
to get
their
in
hands.
There like a little, all the chipmunks get in there like a little jacuzzi hot tub.
I would if I was a chipmunk.
The crows like it.
Oh, no. You guys just spoil them.
I know. It's terrible. It really, it's not terrible. I mean, it makes me happy to go out there. Like I saw the squirrels trying to drink the ice and they were drinking the water, licking the ice. And I was like, oh my God, that squirrel's thirsty. So I went out there and I chopped up the ice and poured more water. As soon as I come back in, he jumps up there. He's like, thanks, lady. You know, and he jumps up there and he drinks the water.
You know, I hear all these,
I can't help myself.
I hear all these stories like during the sacred animal portion of our show of these animals giving out presents and things like that, and all I get is a duck pooping on my car.
No, we don't get any presents. going to go out there and give him a piece of my mind.
Yeah. Open up a can of New York, you know what?
Yeah.
And starts with a whip.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I think you're allowed to say it on the air, but I won't say it.
Yeah. We have a new producer at the mothership. He might.
Just let it go.
Yeah. Well, hey. You know, I can do impersonations. Maybe I can do Bob Blake, our guest.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
No, don't. Hey, how's it going?
Okay, I'd say like 9 out of 10 for that one.
Hey, thank you. Hey, one of the things we were mentioning, Wendy and I, Haley, we're talking about during the break. We do listen to our commercials too. Just want the sponsors to know that. Is that... he's doing some work up at Red Lake. He's got some new electric buses up there. That's awesome. He just got a big old award. And he's working out a big time. He's lost like 60 pounds, he said. And these are all things that he put up on his Facebook. So I feel okay about mentioning those.
Yeah, those electric school buses are amazing. And electric school buses. And they had to build two big, you know, like garages to put the buses in. So
Haley, if you ever heard us talking about Pilots Progressive Party, this is kind of how it was when guests didn't show up.
Yeah. It's okay. We can give Bob a pass. I feel like we haven't talked to Bob in so long. Like, it's been before the elections. I was excited to hear from him.
Yeah. Wow.
But this is fun too.
Aw. Family time.
Yeah. Look at us on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, what else, Wendy? You know, we're going to have, you know, I could have, but we did find the proper substitute meat after all these years of you being vegan. That's really delicious. But I've always said, God, I like just the fixings.
Yeah, just the fixings for Thanksgiving, the stuffing, or some people call it dressing.
Dressing?
I don't call it dressing. Do you, Haley?
No, like salad dressing?
People call it dressing. I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
You know, yeah, we just have the normal mashed potatoes, stuffing, green bean casserole.
Yay.
I can make some, we have some hand-harvested wild rice. I can make some wild rice. Ooh. On the side too.
Oh, yeah.
That's yeah, indigenize good. Your plate.
Yeah, let's indigenize our plate.
Put and that I with really, the stuffing.
I like... Mix I want to go stuffing. Outside, like Mary said, like go outside and like walk around and be in nature. Yeah. I want to do that too tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. That'd be nice. It's going to be really cold.
It was cold today. I walked 2.5 miles with Wanda. She has the cutest little coat. I bought her a little jacket. She looks so cute. Like people stop us while we're walking and like tell her how cute she looks.
I'm telling you. Hey, from the mothership that we can say the word whoop ass. So they just messaged us.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So a can of New York whip ass. That's you know, Haley, all the years that Wendy and I have been together, I never want to make her angry because I've seen her open up a can of New York whip ass on people, and I don't want to be one of those people.
The New York whip ass is different than like the regular states, I feel like.
Yeah, well, you know, our 10, like, you know, being mad or angry or yelling is just like a 4 or 5 in New York. New Yorker and Wendy's a New Yorker, so.
I believe it.
I get scared.
Yeah.
Wendy.
I've gotten a lot better. I'm much, much calmer than I used to be.
Or more passive about it. Like us Minnesotans.
Yeah. Getting a little passive aggressive there, huh, Wendy?
I am a little calmer.
She's calmer. Well, what are you know, we got a few minutes here too before we get to our next segment. But yeah, good on Bob, and yeah, we hope he's doing well. I just gotta give a quick shout out to Representative Stephanie Begay, who got in a car accident. She's a Ho-Chunk representative, and she's pretty banged up, but she's okay. But still, everyone be careful out there.
It's so scary. It really is. There's so many drivers out there that are you know, on their phones or texting.
We only have one car now.
Looking at something else, and I don't know. Yeah. I think people are not paying attention.
Well, especially during like holiday weekends, I feel like that's the biggest rate for DUIs.
Today, Haley, is the busiest bar day of the year.
Oh, the bar day?
Wow. Yeah, uh-huh. People coming home and all that. Uh-huh. They can't stand their relatives, so they're at the bar the night before.
Makes sense.
I know. Everybody's posting, like, talk about politics during Thanksgiving so you don't have to buy so many Christmas presents.
Yeah, there you go. Cut some people out.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
So it looks like Bob's not going to be on. Haley, do you have any more fun facts of Thanksgiving? I like saying Thanksgiving.
It upsets me a lot when I see children at school being pilgrims and Indians and that whole thing. And that's
we have a story about that, don't we? In our family in New York.
Yeah. Well, that was a couple of years ago.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. And my niece sent me a couple of pictures, but they just had like little turkey hats on. And my niece said at the daycare at the school that her kids go to, they're 2 and 3. They're not talking about the pilgrims and the Indians. They're just making it like a turkey and like a what are you grateful for kind of day. You know, so like the turkey leaves, the turkey feathers. There was a face of a turkey, and around the turkey there were feathers, and each feather had the kids of the class, picture of the kids of the class, and what they were grateful for. And they're kind of cute, you know, they're only 3-year-olds, so a lot of them were.
Well, we were
grateful for funny things, you know.
We were at our grandkids' baptism, and I think the minister really kind of homogenized it too, with what you're thankful for. And I really like that vibe.
Yeah, definitely. It's just a day of thanks, a day of being grateful. Yeah.
And there's a 12-step group. I don't want to be a spokesperson, but this has always been called Gratitude Month.
Oh.
Or 12-step programs.
That's nice. You should always be grateful. Try to. I mean, you know, life gets you down and it's hard. It's hard. A lot of times it really is.
Got to get back up.
You say, like Oprah said years and years ago, like when you get up in the morning, just write down 10 things that you're grateful for. It could be like I have heat in my house. Mm-hmm. I have food in my fridge. I have electricity. Like simple things. I have warm shoes, you know.
Is that when Oprah was partying with Diddy?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh. I used to love watching her. I haven't watched her in years. Did she used to party with Diddy?
Yeah.
Ooh.
She's one of the guest people. But
I'm sure she's got some dirt on him.
Yeah, or vice versa.
A lot of bad things about Diddy.
Yeah. It's so confusing, too, because, you know, during his career, he's had so many different names.
Yeah, that's
like he was Puff Daddy, Puff Diddy. That's Diddy true. Witty, allegedly.
He's a rapper, right?
And producer.
Oh, and a producer. Yeah, I was never into rap music, so I never really...
Well, you can't spell crap without rap, I hear.
Oh. Ooh. You like that? Careful there.
You like that one? Wait, did we get that muted?
A lot of people like rap, but I've never...
Well, I bet you if we were to ask Haley to do a rhyme, she could do a rhyme for us because she's at that demographic Generation Z that could probably rap us out.
Spit a couple bars off the top of my head. I don't know if I could, but I'm thinking.
Oh, here we go.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of like some indigenous rappers that we could shout out. I was going to say Jada. Jada has a little bit of like a smooth rap kind of stuff. She'll be at the Fire in the Village tour on Friday.
And where's that again?
That's a great question, Dago.
I'll look at it. I was just
in Minneapolis
having a conversation. I have it in front of me, except my computer screen just went off.
The Hook and Ladder Theater Lounge.
Yes.
Minneapolis.
Yes, that's a cool place, by the way. If you go, take some pictures. That's an awesome place.
Yeah, they'll be doing the fashion show too. So it'll be a fashion show. You'll do some screen printing and then music from David Huckfeldt, Annie Humphrey, of course, Jada, and others. So it'll be a good show to be in community and be around other natives on Friday.
Yeah. So Wendy, what can you give us a preview? We got like a minute left here for what's going to happen at the
exactly sure yet, but I'm going to talk about, you know, a lot of dogs get pancreatitis, this type of time of year because people are giving them foods that they shouldn't have. Yeah. It's costing people a lot of money at the vet. So I'm going to talk about what your dog can eat and what they shouldn't eat and how to keep your pets healthy.
Awesome. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and it's a family affair here. Haley and Wendy and I, we're just ho-chunking away here on Native Roots Radio. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
KFAI is proud to present Linen Bucket Orchestra at the Cedar Culture Center on Thursday, December 5th.
The Lemon Bucket Orchestra are Toronto's original Slavic Balkan klezmer party punks. The multi-award-winning ensemble has been heralded as a groundbreaking, genre-bending phenomena by media and fans alike.
Opening the show is local ensemble Ukrainian Village Band.
Tickets for the Lemon Bucket Orchestra can be found at the Cedar Cultural Center website. Visit thecedar.org for more details.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, I want to introduce my awesome, beautiful wife, or reintroduce. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and we talk about our sacred animals over the last 8 years, and you're founder of Native Roots Radio, and you've been trudging the road of happy destiny with us over the last 8 years on Native Roots Radio. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it's always my pleasure to do that. And I'm really excited because we're getting together soon with a telephone meeting with our Minnesota director of the Humane Society of the United States. I can't remember the date. It's like mid-December. And then we're going to really be talking about what is coming up in the next year and what we're going to be working on. So that's always exciting to do that. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, so we have this pediatrician. Her name's Tara Harris, and she is the founder and president of All Dogs Count. It's a rescue organization in Wisconsin. Do you remember? We used to transport for her.
Oh.
Yeah, Every Dog Counts Rescue Indiana. Yeah. No, she's in Indiana. Yeah. She's originally in Indiana. But anyway, she runs this dog rescue. So, and she posted, and a lot of people posted about, you know, watch what you're giving your dog or your cat for Thanksgiving, because a lot of the foods that we're eating can really cause pancreatitis is the most common thing, and it could be really dangerous. So anyway, I found this article by Danielle Salazar, and it's from Lubbock, Texas, KTSM.com, Channel 9. It was posted this morning at 8:56, and it has foods that are safe for your pets. So these are things you could give to your pet, no problem. Unseasoned cooked turkey, so they don't want a lot of seasons and stuff. Carrots, celery, sweet potatoes, pumpkin puree. Not pumpkin pie filling, though. Green beans, plain, small amount of cheese, corn, not corn on the cob. They shouldn't eat the cob. Peas, apple slices, but no seeds, no core. They can have that. But things that you should not give your pet. So don't give them any bones. Stay away from really fatty meats. And foods that are not safe, grapes, raisins. Wow. Bones. Yeah, grapes and raisins, they have a chemical in them for some reason that your dogs can't metabolize them. The liver can't metabolize and break them down, and they can get really sick from them. Turkey skin.
Oh.
Yeah, anything containing garlic, onions, or a lot of spices or herbs, you shouldn't be giving your dog. I think Wanda, she eats like Indian food. You know, like
there's little spices.
It's very spicy. Yeah, we should probably be careful about that.
Maybe I'll wash off.
Ham, avoid giving your pets fatty meats. They may cause pancreatitis also. We don't have to worry about that. Stuffing and dressing. They called it dressing here too. Stuffing and dressing in this article, right? Because stuffing and dressing usually have a lot of, like, you know, garlic and all that stuff.
Raisins.
Gravy or desserts. And also artificial sweeteners are very dangerous. The ingredient in most artificial sweeteners is xylitol, which is very toxic for dogs. Xylitol toxicity has been known to cause liver damage and even death. So just be careful what you're giving your dog and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
It's interesting
know, you
that
give you give your dog all this stuff over the years and they're fine and they live fine. Like dark chocolate's really dangerous and things like that.
I remember giving skin and ham and all that years and years and years ago. And, you know, my parents had dogs.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. I know.
They thought it was yummy.
I know. They love it, right? But,
geez.
Yeah, just be careful what you're doing here.
Well,
I know,
was hoping you were saying that dogs don't like pumpkin pie because then I don't have to give any of my pumpkin pie.
Yeah, I think pumpkin pie has too many,
Wanda.
Like nutmeg, it has cloves, it has all those, you know, ginger, it has all those things in it that that aren't good. Yeah,
I know, like the pumpkin puree is supposed to help with their digestive. Like track?
Oh, yes. Just plain pumpkin puree. That's fine. I have given that to Wanda when she was sick. Just plain pumpkin puree, but it doesn't have anything in it.
I need some with whipped cream.
You need some with whipped cream. Yeah, I know. Robert's like picture of his pumpkin pie and then the whole container of whipped cream on it. Yeah.
Same, actually.
Yeah. We do coconut based whipped cream. It's delicious.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. It's really good. Yeah. But this is like one of the things that the Humane Society of the United States, like being a volunteer, like stuff that I do, but this is in Missouri. But in early October, the Poplar Bluff City Council in Missouri voted in favor of shutting down and dismantling the local animal shelter's gas chamber. The gas chamber used to kill shelter animals was the last known operating chamber in the state of Missouri for domestic animals, and the removal will mark the end of the practice in that state.
You know, I got to jump in here. One of our great listeners, Santina, on Facebook Live said stuffing is in the bird, dressing is made outside the bird.
Oh, thank you very much for clearing that up.
You learn something here on Native Roots Radio every day.
Oh, okay. So I'm making dressing because we don't have a bird.
Right.
And it's going to be on the outside of whatever. It's going to be on the outside.
Have you ever had a turkey with the stuffing inside?
Yes. When I was a kid, my mom used to stuff the turkey and cook it with the stuffing inside the bird.
Well, before you were vegan, didn't we have that too?
I don't know. Did I ever make a turkey?
I don't think so. You were on strike. You worked too hard, so you wouldn't make turkey dinners.
Good for you, Wendy.
I don't know if I ever did. I don't know if I ever did. I don't know if I could. I remember your sister once. We went over there, and
God,
she had like
a chicken.
It was a chicken. And she had a can with, you know, an open can, like a tin can. The top was open. Poured beer in it, and then she put the chicken on top of the can, so the chicken was standing up on the barbecue.
Looked like poncho.
And she took it off, and I was holding this chicken. I was like, I can't eat this.
It looked like poncho.
I can't eat this. It looks like poncho. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
And that was your dog at the time?
And that was our dog at the time. I was like, this reminds me of poncho. I can't eat this.
Jeez.
I know.
That was traumatic. It happened a long time ago. And then you became a vegan.
Yeah, that was before I was vegan. But
chicken with beer in it.
Yeah, I guess the beer got hot and then it steamed and then
it sizzled that skin.
And it it was, the can was on the inside of the chicken. So it was like cooking inside the chicken. Anyway.
Yeah, well, reminded Santina, me of
Poncho and I couldn't.
The big Pini Gigi Santina, for listening and also for that update, because I was clueless.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I know.
Oh, how much time do we have? We have 1 minute until the end of the show, Wendy. Oh, do you have any?
Well,
any?
I have a little. I have a little meme here with a dog. He's at the psychiatrist and he's laying on the couch, and the psychiatrist is asking the dog questions, and then the dog just says, "Actually, I'm fine. I just have to be in a place where I'm allowed on the couch."
I never thought these would.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.